100% locally made.
Live across Newcastle.
This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
Happy Thursday. That's the second time we've harmonized this week.
You know, it's quite lovely.
I like it.
Yeah, you know, Stephen, you got to get involved. We're starting a Novos choir.
Well, I feel like the team's becoming a bit clicky and I'm on the outer ring, you know?
Oh, never. We wouldn't do that to you.
I don't know. I'm not involved in these harmonies. So I'm a little bit worried.
Stephen, we can bring you inside our inner ring. That's okay.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, nothing better than being inside the inner ring.
How nuts was that storm yesterday?
Foof.
It hit hard. I was caught out in Jesmond, actually, when it hit, and the road started flooding.
There you go.
It was really bad.
Yeah. So I was at the shop, Hamilton North.
Yeah.
Suddenly I'm in Venice. Because it was like a little Italy had, you know, opened up. You could have taken a little gondola down, down Clyde Street.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, Neil, let me get this going here. There we go. There was a little, I thought, you know what, I could grab myself a little hat that I've got there in the shop and a long stick and set up a boat and charge tourists like $50. Perfect.
It felt malicious as well, didn't it? It felt like right during peak driving time. Like,
yeah.
It was like, you know what, I'm just going to buck it down between 4 and 5. They'll stop.
They'll have to, yeah. And then the other thing was, it was funny because we were pulling, you know, we have like little display things out the front of the shop. Mm-hmm. Pull that in, storm's coming. Looks like storm's coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing out there, the other like people, shop owners, just doing the same, just looking at it. Oh. Like, I don't think it's going to hit here. Boy, was I wrong.
Lucky you didn't use that as your instinct, put it all back out.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? We've survived, we've got through it, and that's the main thing. We will rebuild.
We most certainly will.
You're waking up with the Novos, live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as. And on the air now.
And yesterday being Valentine's Day, you know, all this sort of gear going on, you know, with the lovers in the air and all that.
Of course it is.
And look, my wife, Emmy, she's like, I don't want to go out.
Fair enough.
I've just been working like 8 days straight or something. Mm. I just don't want to go out. I want to get some takeout and watch a movie.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I was like, okay, no worries.
Perfect weather for that yesterday.
And it was as well. Yeah. You know, it lent into that. So rang around a few places. A couple of like favourite restaurants, I won't name them. Like, we're not doing any takeaway today.
Oh, because everybody's dining in? Or
they were just like, oh, it's too busy in the restaurant.
Yeah.
They don't have to, I guess. Their business, their rules, isn't it?
It is, but also, just get another staff on. Do you not like money? You know it's going to be busy.
Yes.
And the way they said it, they'd planned that.
But it's not like, it's not as simple as getting another staff on. They've still got, what, they get another cooktop as well and another, you know. What if all the implements are already being used and all the, you know, like.
Surely they've got more capacity to make another pizza or whatever.
Oh, just for you. Were you like, oh, no, I'm Mark Crevo. Surely you can make one pizza for me. They make a pizza for you. They got to make it for everyone.
That's the point. Like, how rich are you already? I guess very rich.
Well, I don't know. That's it. They only got a certain amount of ovens and a certain amount of, you know, like, they can only do so much.
I don't know.
Might not be about staff. They might have the kitchen full. They just cannot pump out any more food.
That is possible. Get another oven.
What'd you end up with?
Chinese.
Yeah,
it was delicious.
Lovely.
It was excellent.
We had the same. Yeah. But everywhere
Chinese as well.
Yeah. It was crazy. Flooded with people everywhere yesterday, not wanting to cook, just wanting someone else, like a restaurant, to cook for them. And fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, midweek holiday. Love it.
There's probably a few, bugger, I haven't made a reservation.
Type situations going on.
I would
definitely
imagine so.
Yeah, it would end up a nice night anyway. But I just thought, you know what? Open opportunity there.
Hmm.
More money to be made.
Well, you should have got the oven going, I reckon.
Well, you know,
why don't you cook for me next year?
Yeah, that is an opportunity. A little Crevo's Kitchen, put it on Uber Eats. Happy days.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5.
All right, Blaxland, there's been a fire in Wickham. Good morning.
We're a bit alive this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about this fire.
Look, around about 3:30 this morning, a fire broke out at Newcastle Auto Electrics, and that's at the corner of Foundry and Church Streets, Wickham. Obviously, they look after cars, and I just spoke to Superintendent Adam Dewberry from Fire and Rescue New South Wales about 5 minutes ago, and said there are dozens of cars that are either destroyed or severely burnt out.
No
way.
Oh,
my God.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, because it's an auto electrics place.
Makes sense. That's where cars would be.
They don't know what the cause was. But there have been about a dozen fire trucks sent to the scene. They're still fighting it, but they've managed to contain it, and it's expected to affect the areas around Wickham until maybe lunchtime.
Okay.
Because with these cars going up, it's not like an office. Well, there was the office, but with the cars going up, of course, there's sort of fumes and all that sort of thing and whatever.
Stay indoors.
Air quality, all that kind of stuff.
And there are concerns about what's been washed down into Throsby Creek as well.
Throsby Creek has a rough go of it.
Look, as I mentioned in the, what time is it? I don't know, the 5:30 news. There were concerns about, of course, everybody's got asbestos roofs, you know, the crinkly sort of ones but it had been replaced recently.
Oh, that's a bit of a stroke of luck, isn't it?
Anyway, that's going on at the moment.
All right, good to know.
The other story is I just go to one of my earlier bulletins and look up the details because I know them off the top of my head. all right, Northern New South Wales Football Association, right, has announced a zero intolerance policy as part of measures to put an end to match abuse, right? That's been done right around the state, but Northern New South Wales Football has said that more than half of its premier competition youth match officials stopped refereeing in the past 12 months.
Half?
With at least 30 of those quitting mid-season because of the abuse they received while refereeing.
That doesn't surprise me, hey. I know a lot of people who have quit that,
Isn't that awful, though?
Yes, it is.
You know, this is just in the past 12 months.
The problem is, as well, is I don't know the numbers, but a lot of them aren't the kids playing. Sometimes it's the parents who can get, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the thing. The CEO, Peter Hayes, has said, changing the culture towards match official Z, you know, culture over decades or centuries, will require changing behaviours, attitudes and actions of players, coaches and spectators.
Spectators key in there, isn't it, I think. Yeah.
But those numbers, though, with at least 30 of them quitting mid-season.
Yeah, it just shows that they are copying it, and people need to calm down. Just a game.
It's a loveless profession, isn't it?
Like being a ref.
Yeah, it really is the definition of you can't do right by anyone. You can't please everyone, can you?
Exactly.
Literally, all you can try and do is be the fairest you can. If you are playing any sport, be nice to the refs. That's the top tip.
That's the takeaway.
They're the ones that can sort of throw a red card up.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Absolutely right.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
I feel like it is a universal experience to both own and then lose a goldfish in a 2-week span.
Yeah. Loses and dies.
Yeah, well, I reckon they are like, I've coined them the guinea pigs of the sea. Because they just seem to like keel over and pass away.
For no good reason.
Absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
Oh, I gave you one little speck of food too much, did I? Oh, that's enough for you to just overeat and pass away. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Vale, my two goldfish, Blackie and Goldie.
Is that what they were called back in the day?
Yeah.
Creative names.
Well, here's the thing. One was black, one was gold.
Well, then.
Little Ted type gear there.
You might not have been expecting that, but that's the way it went.
That is so cheeky of you. It's this kind of like weak nature, I suppose, of goldfish, though, that made me assume that they were bottom of the food chain.
Yeah.
And really, that without human intervention, they might be extinct.
That's the only thing keeping them going.
Well, that's what I assumed. Yeah. I was like, breeding them for pets and stuff, and, you know, being held in captivity. I was like, they're not surviving in the ocean, are they?
They also look so goofy.
Well, that's it. Their eyes are way too big for their body and all that kind of stuff. You're like, they're not making it out there, are they?
No. You know,
we need to shelter these things. But what if humans are actually holding goldfish back? It turns out, right, that the goldfish's growth is dependent on the body of water that lives in. So, like, the bigger the body of water, the bigger the goldfish can grow. This has led to a goldfish being caught in a lake in WA that is 52 centimetres long.
What?
For a goldfish?
52 centimetres long.
I mean, if you see that thing coming up against you, you're like, what's that? That's huge. Half a metre goldfish.
It would scream.
It's like 2 foot long subs almost. It's Subway.
2 foot long subs.
It's unbelievable.
For a goldfish?
It's huge, isn't it?
That would make a lot of sushi.
So,
yeah.
Well, this is the world's longest goldfish. So it's beat the previous record by 4.6 centimetres, smashed it. I was caught by biologist Dr. Dulana Hirth, who has said, how's this, goldfish are in most urban lakes and they are basically apex predators in those ecosystems, eating tadpoles and native fish. So not only are they not the bottom of the food chain, they're the top of the food chain in lakes and stuff like that.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, how come they're so powerful?
Mm. Well, I don't know. I just, like you said, they're all goofy looking and you're like,
That thing couldn't survive nothing. It'd be bullied by the other fish.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, four eyes. I imagine they need glasses or something like that. They look like they do.
Yeah.
Turns
out they got the best eyes in the business.
They are the top of the food chain in those like lake ecosystems.
Wow. They've actually become a pest.
They have become a pest. So they are trying to eradicate some of them from these bodies of water.
Yeah.
But like you alluded to there, Harry, I feel like humans have never eaten goldfish before because it's not worth your time to get out all the bones and stuff. It's only a little fish.
Tiny little fish, yeah. But what is half a metre long?
Do you reckon it'd be any good eating?
I reckon there'd be an interesting flavour to it. They look kind of exotic if they were big. Like koi fish. I reckon you could eat a koi fish.
There you go.
I don't know. Fascinating, isn't it?
I'm going to avoid the eyes, though. I think they look a bit too weird.
Also, all I'm hearing is the fact that if we keep them in captivity and in our tiny little fish tanks as five-year-olds, we'll get rid of the pest problem.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, stop throwing them down the drain by the sounds of it.
Yeah, the problem is if they do escape, they might overthrow us. So we do have to keep them in captivity.
Be alert, not alarmed.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
So yesterday, team, I left home from work. I left work, sorry, to head home. So I'm all over the place.
Yeah, you're all right.
Anyway, I realised that I didn't have anything back at home for food-wise. Nothing for lunch. So I was like, got to go to the shops.
Pantry's a bear.
So I went to Katara, I went to Coles there, picked up some bits and bobs.
Yep.
But I was like, I'm going to need to buy something for lunch because I can't be bothered cooking when I get home.
Oh, how's that budget?
Stretchy. Yeah, it is not as stretchy as it needs to be, actually. So I was like, you know what? I'll head to Lambton Road. And I'll go get Subway there in Broadmeadow, on my way home.
That's a bit of a throwback.
What type of sub guy are you? Are you a meatball sub dude?
Nah, normally Italian BMT.
Oh, man after my own heart on Italian herb and cheese bread?
Yeah, of course. Only one bread you can pick.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so I was like, I'll get Subway, because even though that'll hurt the budget, at least it's not too bad for me, lots of veg and stuff in there. Mm. Anyway, so I went on Lambton Road, pulled in there, got my food, took it home, and it tasted an awful lot like Nui fried chicken, which is now opened up next to Subway on Lambton Road there. I had every good intention. I really did. I'll go sub. It'll be good. Pulled into the car park and Nui fried chicken was right there.
Do you reckon that's on purpose?
What do you mean that they've opened up there? It was a moment of weakness. It really was. And look, at the moment of eating, no regret at all. Afterwards, when I was like, what have you done? You know, you're looking at the greasy wrapping paper.
And you can see through it like a window.
What have I done? Anyway, it was delicious. That's all I'll say.
Excellent. What was your order?
Yeah.
Italian BMT.
Yeah, Italian BMT. Siobhan's listening, an Italian BMT, all the salad yesterday.
And none of the meat.
No, of course. Very
good. Keeping healthy and keeping the budget in check. That's what Stephen's up to. Jeff Bezos, he's this very, he's quite eccentric in a way, isn't he? The guy that came up with Amazon.
He was at one point the world's richest man. Is he still? I think he's probably been overtaken.
Surely
at one
he'll
point
be on
he was.
The spectrum there, surely.
He's there or thereabouts, absolutely.
Yeah. In the top few, a very, very rich man. He's recently sold $2 billion worth of his Amazon stock.
Really?
Oh,
just freeing up a bit of cash, I guess.
Yeah. Taking a bit more liquid, I guess. Yeah,
that's it. Just
can't spend stocks. You can spend $2 billion, can't you?
And there's many ways to spend it. Of course, when you sell something like that, then that's seen as profit. So then he needs to, I guess, he's got to pay a lot of tax.
Well, you pay tax on earnings, don't you?
That's it. So you got, yeah. All right, suddenly, like, we're on, you know, fairly average money, like for me, $60,000 in this job or something, $50,000 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to pay some tax on that. Mm. And then he is going to have to pay a lot more tax.
Right.
He earns a lot more money.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
However, he's gone to his accountant, I want to pay less. What can I do? The accountant has gone, what you should do, because over in America, the tax is different in different states.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
You should move house.
What?
Right.
How's that gonna
so he's
up?
Moving. He's moving from one state to another. He's moving to Florida, yeah. Right? Because the tax rate's lower, a little bit lower.
Yeah.
It will save him $600
million. Save him $600 million?
Yeah, in
What's
taxes.
What's he going to do with that money, though? Like, that's crazy.
What do you mean?
New York.
I've got plenty.
I can think of a few things.
Yeah.
You could do with $600
million. Yeah. Saving $600 million.
That's unbelievable. How much was he meant to pay in taxes before that?
Well,
must have been extortionate.
Yeah, maybe a billion or something.
Well, it sounds like
Wow.
Because all that, I guess, is profit. So now, here's a big discount for you just for moving house.
It is like made up numbers, isn't it?
It does. Yeah. It all seems fake. When you're up in those, like, billions of dollars, then it just seems like they've made up these numbers off the top of their head.
The fact that you can save money that, like, the, you know, 99% of the population would dream to even look at.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, it's just, it's unfathomable. You actually can't believe it.
It's just another case of the rich get richer.
Isn't it, certainly? Yeah. I mean, and you know he's bought a nice house there as well.
Oh, of course, you'd be living it up.
With his $600 million in savings.
Yeah, castle.
I mean, it's different, isn't it? When you go in Coles, you're like, $2 off my favourite toothpaste. That's a great saving.
He doesn't care about the yellow stickers, does he?
Nah.
He's never, not worried.
He's never looked at one of those in his life.
UFM. De Novos.
Joined now by a very special guest, comedian, musician extraordinaire, Cameron James. New song out yesterday, in fact. And this is called Boys Night. Welcome to the show, Cameron.
Thank you so much. Thanks for letting me celebrate my Valentine's Day gift one day after Valentine's Day.
It's all part of the friendly service the Novos provide.
Absolutely. Okay, Cameron, so just to kick us off, tell us a little bit about your new song, Boys Night, and the inspiration behind it.
It's a love letter to the fellas. I think it's about time the fellas had something just for us.
Too right. Ladies have had it too easy for too long.
Oh, thanks.
That's all I think.
No, I wanted to write a song about the realities of partying. There's a lot of great songs out there about having a big night and going crazy, but there's not enough about the realities of it, which is that most of us just kind of want to be home and want the night to be over as quick as possible.
Yeah, I'm an absolute criminal for the old Irish goodbye. So, you know, ducking out without saying bye to anyone. Just
Where's Stephen gone? He's gone.
Do you feel like that sentiment's kind of similar around your mates?
Absolutely. I'm also a fiend for the Irish goodbye, or smoke bombing, as yep. I call it. And, yeah, I went to a Bucks party in Newey last year, and all we talked about in the lead up to it was how big a night it was going to be. Mm. And then by about 10:30, I could tell that everyone was like, maybe we should just put Netflix on and just lay down for a little bit.
You're wilting, yeah.
Don't want to be the first one to make that call either, do you?
Very embarrassing. Yeah. Everyone's thinking it at the same time.
Now, you mentioned a Bucks party in Newey. You're a Newey boy, Cameron, and I've seen you doing your Mixtape Australian tour, but I've got a bone to pick with you. Being a Newcastle boy, you'd know, Newcastle, we always get everything last. Why do we get your show last as well? Surely you're going to come and give them to us first.
I know. It's so annoying. But maybe we can look at it as a positive thing and we can think of it as we're ending at the best place on earth.
Oh, you've spun it well.
We're not going to argue.
You're a consummate salesman and I appreciate that. Now, the other exciting thing as well, this song, the film clip, filmed at The Lass. What was that all like?
I love The Lass. As you mentioned, I am a Newcastle boy and not only that I grew up in town. I played in a lot of bands when I was in my teens and early 20s. We used to play at the Lass all the time. And I'm mates with the guy that runs it, Andrew Dunn. And I just wanted to show my love for the place. So, yeah, we filmed the whole clip there. So we just were having a great time hanging out there all day and kind of paying respects to this iconic venue.
Well, yeah, Dunny's a local legend as well.
Yeah, he's
a good friend of our show. We love all his work, absolutely. Now, you know, obviously we're talking about your music here, but you're a very funny man as well, Cameron. I've got a favour to ask of you. Now, I know you're probably very busy, but there's been this discourse online around a lack of a Newcastle song, a song that, like, epitomises Newcastle, that kind of, like, I guess, encapsulates our region. Do you reckon you could be the man to, like, you know, put pen to paper and get a bit of a melody going for a Newcastle song?
Man, there's been a few cracks at it. There's that one from the 80s about the Greek Cafe on Hunter Street. There's one from the 2000s that I remember went, Newcastle, whoa.
Very Newcastle.
And I think Morgan Evans had a crack at writing a song for the Newcastle Knights last year or something. I could definitely have a go at it, but I got to say, it would be a long ballad. I reckon it would be 25 minutes long, and it would be a tearjerker, and it would cover a Pasha Bolka. It would cover the earthquake. It would cover me seeing Andrew Johns at Fanny's in 2010. It would cover a lot of great stuff.
You know what?
All the significant moments in Newcastle's history.
All of them. I like how you've encapsulated that in such a short 29-minute period. Look forward to seeing you Saturday, July 6th at Newcastle Conservatorium, livenation.com.au. And we look forward to the Newcastle song, 29 minutes in length. We'll see you then.
Can't wait for the show. Newcastle crowds are the best crowds ever. I hope everyone comes out.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
And massive shock to music fans, rather, yesterday with Festival Groove in the Moo. It's been cancelled. It's in the can. It's done.
This is sad, isn't it?
It really is. So,
I mean, it sold out pretty quick, I thought, in Newcastle.
For Newcastle, within half an hour, I believe it was. We talked about it last week or something. But all of a sudden, it's cancelled all of its shows across the country for this year, just 2 months before it was meant to start.
It's crazy. Well, it's only been like a week since tickets went out. And like I was talking to my partner, Siobhan, about it. We had tickets, so obviously we're going to have to get refunded. Mm-hmm. But I've been to GTMs in the past, obviously never in Newcastle, first time here in Newcastle. Mm-hmm. But I've never had to, I've always been like, oh, buy a ticket a week before, never been a worry. Mm-hmm. Newcastle, though, obviously so hungry for live music.
Absolutely.
They just were very keen, weren't they?
Sold out basically straight away, like you alluded to, Karibo. So the rest of the country, once again, falling by Newcastle. Pick up your slack.
Yeah, and that's typical in all things, isn't it? You know, you got your small towns like Perth and stuff, they're falling behind, and Newcastle just carrying the torch forward in progress in all ways.
Yeah, so, but that's the thing, though. So it's been going for about 19 years or something like that, but this is the first time this has happened. So this is pretty, you know, history-making.
Well, they had a couple of years break with COVID and stuff as well, I think. Yeah. I think they're struggling maybe to get back going again.
Maybe it could be a funding thing or something.
I don't know. It's tough. The real winner of this is Maitland City Council.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's
they
what
are
you
licking
get.
Their lips, aren't they? They're thinking, yeah, you can have it. You have it, Newcastle.
Yeah, that's right.
Psych. Well, no GTM tab.
Well, I was thinking last night as well, with this being cancelled, should we just come up with a brand new festival just for Newcastle and the Hunter? I reckon we should. Well, we should get that sorted.
The ticket, you know, buyers are there ready with their dollary due. So, you know, get it going.
Indeed. Team, there are moments in life that stick with you,
of
right? Like, I feel like there are moments in time where every Novocastrian remembers where they were when said moment happened.
Sure.
Yep.
So, you know, you look back to the Knights' first flag of 97.
Oh, you'd remember that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if I wasn't
alive,
born, yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, I digress. Yeah. You look back to Pasha Bolka running aground.
Iconic.
And, you know, on Nobby's Beach, 2007. Mm. And you look at the great bucketing down storm of Valentine's Day 2024, as I'm coining it anyway. God, the weather came from nowhere yesterday, didn't it? Just out of, like, out of thin air.
Mm, the sky literally fell.
It most certainly did.
It just 1 minute was sunny, and then it was those ominous clouds, so black, so heavy, and the weight of the water was ready to, I guess, disperse amongst our city.
Well, that's it. So this is what we're doing. 4967-4105, $100 fuel cards up for grabs. So just get involved. Tell us, well, how'd the storm affect you? Where were you when it all kind of happened? Because I reckon there was some spiteful behaviour around it. Like, I reckon that it was a malicious attack by the sky, because it felt like it only rained during that commute home time from work, you know?
People,
like,
are trying to get home to all their lovers and things.
Siobhan's auntie, she rode to work. Beautiful morning when she got up. I had to ride home.
In the storm.
In the storm. Unbelievable. Siobhan and I were driving home from Charlestown. So we were on the Inner Sydney bypass near Hillsborough Road there.
Yeah.
Flooded. Like, full flooded, basically. Because you know how, like, the Inner Sydney bypass, especially through Charlestown there, is quite hilly?
Yes.
Goes up, down, up, down. So in one of those little troughs, I suppose, like, full flooded. You just, like, almost, you had to slow right down, because otherwise you're going to splash all the cars around you and stuff.
Yeah, these are the sorts of things. On Clyde Street, where the shop was, I was at the shop when the storm happened, the Valentine's storm of 2024.
Yeah, yep.
And there's, like, a little low point in the road. Somebody had parked there. Water was going in their door.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that's shocking.
On the low side, water was going in the door. So whoever owned that Corolla or whatever, I feel bad for you, you know, because that's a rough day when you get in there and you open the door. It's not a good sound, is it?
Where were you, Ari?
So I was actually driving home with Dad in the car. We were coming through Jesmond Way and, like, near that intersection where, you know, Jesmond Fruit Barn is and all that type of thing. And obviously you got the Newcastle Uni traffic coming home. Everybody's coming home from work from Newcastle CBD. And the road was completely flooded with water. All the drains were banked up and everything. You could see, like, empty cans. Hands, like, kind of floating down the street and everything. Was really bad.
It was just such heavy rain, wasn't it? So 4967-4105, how did the storm affect you? The great Valentine storm of 2024, as we're coining it.
In Kooragang, good morning, Rachel. What was your story?
Yeah, look, rocked up to work yesterday. Nice and sunny. Yeah, that changed pretty quick in the afternoon. And, storm started coming in. The clouds were pretty black. We had some visitors to our depot from another depot, and she had a nice new Beamer. And, madly trying to get that undercover because we thought it was going to hail. So managed to get that in the workshop. And then the workshop started flooding, and then the office started flooding, and, it's a bit wet in the place at the moment.
Oh, my God.
So you're very safe.
Are you walking around on squishy carpet in the office this morning?
I was putting my foot down and it was splashing up around me.
Oh, that's terrible.
Jeez, the Valentine storm of 2024.
Never forget.
Another Novocaine victim.
That's it.
We'll head to Cardiff next. Morning, Nad Lee. What was your Valentine storm story?
Yeah, hi guys. I left work yesterday, and just as the storm was about to hit, driving home from Jesmond to Cardiff, and it was torrential. Also got hail on the way home, so that was a bit freaky. Yeah, and then I live on the top of Cardiff, and I came home to go around the corner, and there was fire trucks, there was police, because we had power lines down, so they were diverting traffic. So by the time I got home, we had no power, and we had no power until 2:15 this morning.
Jeez.
And then I finally got to sleep, and then it was about 2:30. I got a text message from Ausgrid saying our power was back on, so straight back awake. So we were laying around trying to cook with a camper oven.
Oh, no.
Yeah, romantic. We had candles. Oh, that was romantic. We had candles because no power, obviously, so no light. So, yeah, it was a fun night.
Forced to be romantic on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's interesting because, apparently, according to Ausgrid, the power in Cardiff was only meant to be out for about an hour, and now it's, like, overnight. How bad is that?
It's a real quickly in and out of the fridge type situation, like Indiana Jones with that little skull.
Yeah, the crystal ball.
Yeah, you got to quickly try and grab it.
All right,
let's wrap this up with Mandy in Garden Suburb. What story have you got for us?
Oh, let's set the scene. Okay. Valentine's Day, hubby hand delivers flowers to my work. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, get home, threw a roast in the oven, sitting outside having a wine, watching the storm come over. Must admit, at first, a bit disappointed, like, oh, I thought we're supposed to get a humdinger. Then it came through. It was pouring. We're doing house renovations, two-story. Oh. The new bit of the house all flooded. The old bit of the house flooded. We're living in a camper trailer on our front lawn. One of the windows flipped up, and it's the bed where all my clothes, my shoes, my handbags are stored. All that is flooded.
Oh,
the
my
car
God.
Made a waterfall over the gutter straight down into our carport. The carport flooded. Our pool flooded. It was crystal clear blue. It's brown.
Oh my God.
Oh, and the power went out. The roast, that's ruined in the oven. Power's out. Let's cook a barbie. It had stopped raining. Cooked the barbie, turned our back. The dog flocked the steak off the barbecue.
Oh, my God. Just to rub salt into the wound, didn't it? What a nightmare. Well, you know what, Mandy? What an absolute drama that is. And I think for that, that deserves a $100 fuel card.
I agree.
At a minimum. That's a small, small help. And I hope all things get sorted over the next few days. Good luck with all that.
Oh, it's only water, hey?
Oh, good outlook to have.
It certainly is.
105.3 UFM.
The Novos.
Lowest.
Deluxe.
All right, guys, let's do this thing. Let's do Lowest to Lux, our top game of the week. Thank you for the enthusiasm, Steve, and I quite enjoyed that.
I'm excited.
Okay, as you should be. So this game, super simple. I'll just quickly explain it again. We give you three items. You list them from the cheapest to the most expensive, your lowest to Lux. So let's just jump straight into it, shall we?
Let's do it. Meeting our contestant representing Cessnock this morning, it's Riley. How you doing?
How are you guys?
Oh, fantastic. Better hearing your dulcet tones, Riley.
thanks, mate.
That's the way. Did you catch that storm yesterday?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah? No dramas, though?
Nah, no dramas.
Thank goodness.
All right, obligatory small talk about the weather out of the way.
Let's
get into Lowest to Lux. Do you understand how the game works, Riley?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you got this. Yeah. You're across it.
All right, well, let's start with the three items. Okay, Riley, here we go. First item I'm going to give you is the Robert Gordon 12-piece dinner set in white speckle from Meyer at Charlestown. So that's your first one.
La, la.
Okay, your second item is going to be a pack of 24 nuggets from KFC there at Glendale. And then the third option is a four-night stay at Ridges along Wharf Road in the Newcastle CBD. Have you got those?
All right. So dinner set, nuggets, stay at a hotel.
All right, let's do this. Are you ready to guess, Riley?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think I'll start with the nuggets.
Okay.
And then the four-night stay.
Right.
And then the dinner set.
All right, so that's from the cheapest to the most expensive. We've gone nuggets, four-night stay, dinner set.
Take it away, Ari. We need you to reveal.
Okay, so our cheapest item is the pack of 24 nuggets from KFC Glendale, $10.95. It's not a bad deal, actually. I'm quite hungry now. Okay.
So you need, for this next one, you need the four-night stay to be more.
Higher than that.
Okay. Yeah. So your four-night stay at Ridges comes in at $988 here in Newcastle. Well, I can confirm that the Robert Gordon 12-piece dinner set, however, from Meyer, is only
$249. Oh, no! Sorry, man.
Riley would never eat with cutlery that cheap.
What is that rubbish? That cheap knockoff rubbish.
Unfortunately.
You are wrong.
You get no prizes. Thanks for playing,
Sorry
though. Lowest Lux back tomorrow.
Team, yesterday, Valentine's Day. Hope everyone had a wonderful day. They were spoilt, treated, you know, a time full of love.
So romantic.
But while love was in the air, I was thinking of a love scorned. Love of the past.
Oh.
My first heartbreak, right?
Oh, my God.
You tend to reflect in times like this, right?
You do.
So I was thinking of the first time I had my heart broken, right?
Are you all right there, Stephen? You sound quite somber and sad.
I am a little bit somber and sad. It's a heartbreak. Naturally, you kind of talk about this sort of stuff. You feel those emotions. So, you know, I've set the scene for you.
Okay.
My first heartbreak. Morning after a mate's 18th birthday. Now, I'd had, you know, a few lemonades. I decided to line my stomach with a Macca's delivery. So, you know, I get on the app, order it, to my house it comes. I'm ruffling through the bag. Double sausage and egg McMuffin. Tick.
Okay.
Yeah.
OJ. Tick as well. Hash browns, though. No hash browns in the bag.
How can you forget the hashies?
Well, that's what I thought. The most integral part of the morning after, you know, meal.
You would have been fantasizing about those in the ordering process.
I was drooling. I was thinking, oh, my God, I can't wait to get these hash browns in me.
The texture when they hit your tongue, all of that.
They've forgotten the hash browns. Heartbreaking. It was my first ever heartbreak, right?
Unbelievable.
The bloody forgot me hash browns. But Macca's are right now implementing new technology to stop this from happening.
How's this going to work?
Fast food
technology.
Fast food game changing forever, right?
Yeah.
So the fast food chain has introduced scales to the delivery process with employees needing to weigh bags before sending them out. So it should be able to detect missing items and verifies whether the bag is the right weight based on the order. It then gives a green light, a little bing, a tick, and they can send like that, and they can send it out.
That's actually amazing, and I sort of, you know, when you're at like at the self checkout, like Woolies at Mayfield or whatever, and you're putting through your stuff, it knows. Oh, you put an orange instead of an apple, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've got the scales there, don't they? Yeah, they've sorted all that.
Technology.
The technology is there. This is a great application for it. I'm very excited for this.
But not only should this be introduced to Macca's, but like everything, especially like KFC as well, because sometimes they forget my extra chips. There is no gravy in there. Where's my 10 nugs? They're not there.
Well, I reckon
that's a good point.
You're right. There's applications are broader than just Macca's, and it could be like, you know, implemented to the whole fast food industry. I think the other thing as well is this is not only going to prevent you from having items missing, but sometimes when you go to a fast food restaurant, your little like packet of chips is half full or something like that.
Oh, yes.
That should come up with one of these ones.
Yeah.
And they should go back and put more chips in the bag so you're not getting ripped off. I like this.
Now the only thing they need to make sure is that they get the items right.
Yeah, well, that's a separate issue.
You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as. And on the air now.
So yesterday I picked up my partner Siobhan from work.
As you do?
Yeah. So
he's a good man, isn't he?
I know.
She knocked off at like 4 o'clock. So she was working at Gorman. She was at Westfield Katara.
Yeah.
So I was just sitting in the car park there waiting for her to finish her shift. I didn't have like shoes on or nothing. I wasn't going in. It was just a classic like pick her up. So she'd come out, jump in the car, we drive home. Anyway, while I was sitting in the car, played a great game of people watching, right? So, you know, everyone's coming in, going out, busy bees that they are, going about their everyday life.
Sure.
I reckon there was about a 50% rate of people who were leaving the shops yesterday about 4 o'clock when I picked her up, who were in business attire, holding flowers in hand.
Isn't that a classic?
God, they would have been... That is your one day of the year, isn't it, if you sell flowers? It's your Christmas.
That is it. You'd almost consider... You see why those people, like, open one at the servo.
They
pull up a truck at the back of a servo and they just sell flowers out of that. That's probably they only do that once a year and then retire the rest of the year. Exactly.
It was so funny though. There was so much like briefcase in one hand, flowers in the other type action leaving the shops yesterday. I started a little tally in the car.
What did you get to?
Oh, there was heaps. I don't know. There must have been at least.
Over 20.
Yeah, over 20. Yeah. Easily over 20.
God, flower makers love this one simple day, don't they?
Florists. Yeah.
That is the correct term. That's how you know I'm not in the flower business. Now, of course, Pink was in Newcastle. It was massive. Sold out McDonald Jones Stadium.
Yep.
was huge, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Palpable.
Some of the, I guess, like comments on forums I've seen on Reddit and stuff like that is that there was a couple of, or people saw a few babies at the concert.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Which is, look, I don't really see a problem with it per se.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they've got like the noise cancelling earphone, yeah, headphones on, headset or whatever. Mm. Then I can't really see a problem with it, but a lot of people up in arms about this.
Yeah, I think I would tend to side towards them, those that are up in arms.
Would you? Why is that?
I don't know. Like, it's all well and good for you to say, you know, I don't see a problem with it. And you probably don't see a problem with it until you sat next to a crying baby for 2 hours at a Pink concert.
Yeah,
you
that's
pay
harsh.
Good money to go see an artist that you love, you know. You've saved up all your pennies, cost of living through the roof.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, are budgeting for this sort of stuff.
Sure, saving up.
You finally get to that night and all you can hear is not the vocals of Pink, but rather the screaming vocals of a baby next to you. It would taint your night, wouldn't it?
It would a little bit. I do have to agree with that, actually.
This is the debate, and none of us are parents, so we sort of thought we'd throw it out there and find out what Newcastle thinks. Is it right or wrong to take babies to a concert? Now, we're not talking like, you know, toddlers. We're talking like babies.
Yeah.
Because there were quite a few apparently at Pink. And you know, some people upset about it. They're also sort of saying, oh, it's not right for the baby. It wouldn't be a good experience, that sort of thing. Others were saying, oh, look, I got taken as a baby and I've got a great appreciation of music. That sort of
not
rhetoric.
Not because you were taken as a baby.
Well, that's what some people are saying.
My suggestion would be, if you want to take a baby to a concert, don't take it to Pink or Elton John. Just take it to Disney on Ice where all the normal people do it.
Well, this is the debate. And I thought, let's find out what Newcastle thinks about this because it is interesting. Like Stephen said, on the one side, you know, some concert goers might find it annoying. On the other side, you know, if you're a mum and you want to go out and have a night out and don't have an option for a babysitter, why not? 4967-4105. Just for getting involved, we've got the $100 fuel cards up for grabs,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty sweet incentive. All we need, is your opinion on this, and maybe you've got thoughts personally.
I refute the idea that a babysitter's not available. There's plenty of, you know, like uni students in Jesmond or something like that who are looking
family
for...
Family members?
Yeah, looking for... Well, family members, some people don't have family.
Don't have that, yeah.
That's true.
Like, that's fair enough. But there are people who, you know, like there's students who are looking to do it or like looking to earn a bit of cash. Mm-hmm. I think you've saved up all that money for Pink, spend a little bit extra, get a babysitter. The baby's not going to remember it to begin with. They'll never remember that Pink concert, too young. And it saves you from having that awkward situation where your baby starts crying, ruins your night, ruins the night of those around you. I don't know. I think leave him at home.
All right.
I'll head to Cessnock first. Good morning, Liz. What's your thoughts on this?
Hi. I think that it's each person's decision themselves what they're comfortable doing.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So if you're comfortable to take your baby along, then you should be able to.
Feels like a fence sitter.
Yeah,
we don't like fence sitters.
Look, I'm going to take that as a...
No, you can't claim that. Outrageous.
You just said...
Neutral vote. All right, I'll give it to you. You can have that
one. All right, one to me at this point. Let's go to Warners Bay up next. Hey, Jessica, what are your thoughts?
So I was at the concert, and I've got to say, when it comes to sitting next to a crying baby, I couldn't hear my husband talking to me, so I feel like I wouldn't hear a baby.
But also,
I had my toddlers, we have two toddlers. We didn't want to take them because I didn't want to pay for their ticket. Mm-hmm. A couple of $100.
Of course, yeah.
But we also had the issue that all of our regular babysitters were actually at the show.
So you end up taking them or what?
We ended up finding a sitter, but it was a struggle.
Okay, all right. So that's more of a cost thing, isn't it?
Perhaps the babysitters have got like a bit of like, you know how Uber has a surcharge during busy times? You reckon there's like a babysitter surcharge?
Well, I reckon there should be, absolutely.
Most definitely.
All right, now let's head over to Elmore Vale with Linda. Good morning, Linda. What are your thoughts?
Good morning. Absolutely. Bring the kids. You're not taking them there babysat because it's far too expensive. You're taking them either one because they're too little and they have to come with you, or they're there making memories because they want to be there.
But babies aren't remembering that. That's an outrageous argument.
Oh, you never know, Stephen.
No, babies aren't remembering. I took my 6-week-old daughter to a Robbie Williams concert 17 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, what are her memories of that?
Her memory is the one single photo that I've got of her.
That's more of a your memory, isn't it, though, really, to be fair?
All right.
Well, 2-1. I'm taking that as a win.
I think you clean sweeped it.
Yeah.
All threes then. Yeah, no drums.
Yeah, how good's that? And you know what? Linda, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
We're going to, you know, because you're into concerts and all that, we're going to send you off to Jess Mowboy.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye. Congratulations.
UFM. The Novos.
The Novos.
The Bluey theme song. All right, I'm going to play a little bit of it here because a lot of people would be well and truly aware of this. Here we go. Is it going to play? Here we go. Mom! Oh, wow. It's a bit cheery, vibey.
It's catchy, isn't it?
And making me smile.
A lot of parents would be like, oh, my God, I've heard this a zillion million times.
Yes,
turn it off. Okay, there you go. The reason I'm playing it is because Bluey Fever has well and truly taken over the world with the Bluey Gnomes. Now, this is like a collaboration with Bunnings, which they've sort of renamed to Hammer Barn.
Is that a reference to the show, is it?
I'm not familiar
with Bluey, yeah.
So on this show, obviously, they've got these gnomes now, which are a toy, it's a garden gnome, available at Bunnings, and the prices are going crazy. Because they don't have Bunnings overseas.
Yeah.
These gnomes are being sold online, a lot on eBay. How about this? A trio, which is a complete set, including the accessories and things that came with it, a current price of $12,100.
That is jaw-dropping. So basically, just for clarification, are they just gnomes? Are they just like characters of Bluey as gnomes?
That's right. That was garden gnomes. Yeah. Right.
A decorative piece.
Some starting at $19 is the normal price when you buy them there. Now, probably about a week ago, I was at Bunnings Katara, and they still had like a pallet there at that time.
Oh, right. So they're here locally, yeah.
Well, yeah. I've since heard, though, people have been ringing around, a lot sold out, or they're not letting you do like click and collect, that sort of thing. And there's also been, when they were there, they had a big sign on it, limit, like a number per customer, like three, no more than three per customer or whatever.
It's a toilet paper situation.
It's exactly like that because these things are so sought after. Even on Facebook Marketplace, people are selling just one or two for like a few hundred dollars.
Really?
Because there's so much fever over that. In fact, somebody here, I'm just looking now, they had a set of four, no accessories, for $899.
Damn.
Some people are selling just one gnome out of the box for $150. The fever around this is getting out of control.
So do you think most of those, I guess, people who are buying these are from overseas?
The ones on eBay that are going for thousands, yes, because the show is popular worldwide, but obviously we only have Bunnings
here. Right, okay.
So the people that say, you know, if you're very wealthy and you've got kids who are obsessed with the show, they've heard about these gnomes, probably seen them on TikTok or something, you know what Pester Power is like.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it gets to another level. The one selling like $150, that's probably like your Australian equivalent. You know, some rich parent whose kid just absolutely must have the Bluey gnome. Other kids at school maybe got one, and then they're buying them through Marketplace
That's
or whatever,
crazy.
Or Gumtree or something.
It's crazy how this stuff takes off. It's always similar with like the Coles collectibles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Get a full set of them. They're worth like thousands of dollars. How? Why?
It's unbelievable. Exactly. For what reason? There's so many. There's such a world of Bluey toys available out there.
Yeah. Why are these gnomes the ones that have taken off?
That's such a good question. And it's, once again, it's just Bluey fever.
It's great marketing.
Well, that too. I mean, I actually like read this interview with the guy that started it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, he is just the king of marketing.
Is he really?
And that's what he's done.
That doesn't
surprise me. There
you go. So congratulations to him.
Yeah. He's
making a lot of money off this.
Set yourself up for life.
If you see some Bluey gnomes at your local Bunnings, though, you know, whether you're out at Heather Bray or, you know, Katara or whatever, get some is the top tip, I think. A couple of dollars to be made, and your kids will probably like them.
UFM. The Novos.
The Novos.
Spurs.
But Taylor Swift is in the country, people.
Wow, that is alarming.
The Australia leg of her, you know, world tour tomorrow. First show in Melbourne. Of course, she will be coming to Sydney as well. Her flight yesterday, you know, on her way to the country, was the most tracked in the world. And in large part, that was thanks to this guy called Jack Sweeney. Now, he's basically just some student. He posts, like, flight details. So, you know, it's publicly available data, takeoff, mm-hmm. and he posts all the dates of the takeoff and landing of these flights, of these big celebs. But Taylor Swift, not too happy about it. So she's threatened legal action, citing information possesses, and this is a quote from her legal team, an imminent threat to the safety and well-being of Swift.
Is that?
Well, I don't know.
Is someone shooting down her plane or something? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And she's got lots of security and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And it's like publicly available information. That's how this whoever's tracking it's got it.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. If people wanted to, they could find it themselves. They just follow this account because this guy does that little bit of work for them. Control copy from the website he sees it from.
Yeah.
Control paste onto Twitter. You know, that's all he does.
And it's just more people can see it more easily.
Yeah, that's right.
It's out there. The info's out there.
Well, like I said, though, he's a 21-year-old student. And he does this for not only Taylor Swift, but, like, he's done it for a fair few celebrities as well. Basically, like, the world's elite. So he's done it with, like, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Zuck. He was banned from Twitter. Do you guys remember? He was banned from Twitter briefly for the whole thing with Elon. Basically, Elon accused him of sharing his assassination coordinates.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Elon.
Jog on, mate.
Yeah. But he reckons that there's no, you know, like, malice behind any of these things. Yeah. He basically said, I think Swift has some good songs. I'm a fan of hers, but I believe in transparency and public information. He added he reckons he's only started receiving these threats from her legal team after, I guess, some media outlets began scrutinising Taylor Swift's carbon footprint.
Oh, there we go. Well, there's obviously more to that story.
Have you guys seen these articles?
Yeah, I have.
I mean, look, she's got to get to concerts.
According to some of the, I mean, I understand she does have to get to concerts, but according to some of these publications, her, you know, jet emissions for last year were 1,185 times more than the average person's total yearly emissions.
Yeah, but that's because she needs to get to concerts. I mean, I don't think someone like that can fly, you know, like on a normal plane.
No, she'd get mobbed. She's too famous.
It would cause too much chaos at the airports. Like, can you imagine that when she lands in a private jet, people are like lining up along the fence at the airport just to try and like glimpse her through the chain link fence. Yeah. Can you imagine if they could get on the same flight as her? It would actually cause dangerous.
Yeah, it'd be absolute chaos. But how is Taylor Swift so different to other big singers? Maybe like Beyonce or Lady Gaga or things like that, who would do the exact same thing, you know, charter a private jet to get to and from each country for their concerts. It makes no sense.
Well, there's a lot of scrutiny around her to and from America to see Travis Kelce, her boyfriend at the moment. So that's where a lot of it is. And, like, Crevo being the voice of reason aside, it's created some pretty funny memes. There's, like, discourse around. I don't know if you've seen it. My TikTok's full of it. It'll be, like, a video captioned, Taylor Swift needs to get her remote from the other side of the couch. And the video will be, like, a space shuttle launching into space. Or, you know, like...
That is funny.
Another one I saw was Taylor Swift needs to change seats at the Super Bowl, and it was a video of the Jets flying over the stadium in LA before the national anthem.
That's clever.
She'll fly anywhere for any excuse.
That's what the memes are saying, and keep them coming. I think they're hilarious.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
And Blaxland just mentioned it there in your 100% live and local news update. Adam O'Brien, 3-year extension.
Yes!
I'll tell you what, 6 months ago, the bookies would have had that $501
to buy. I know, you would have been well and truly in the money if you'd made that bet, pay off the mortgage type money, wouldn't it?
He was a man whose head was on the chopping block.
Yeah.
And I guess it is really, anecdotally a story that proves it's never too late to turn your fortunes around.
Oh,
isn't that a great message for the people in Newcastle?
All money. He looked like he was gone, wasn't he? Like, he was basically one loss away from getting the sack, I reckon. I think it was speculation. Nah, who knows
very
what's going on.
Yeah, maybe he would have made it to the end of the season. Maybe.
Anyway, people were unhappy with results. And then there they go, that 10-game win streak. You know,
became legendary, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah. And now, like Buckland said in that little update, after he's serving his contract, he'll be the longest-serving Knights coach ever.
That's an impressive feat.
It's extraordinary, really.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Like, from rags to riches type stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, so 10 games, it's a game a week, roughly.
Yeah.
Like, 2.5 months.
He's turned his whole
next 3 years around.
I tell you what, people are excited for the upcoming season.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Knights, they could do something special.
They
this
might
year.
Be in for a chance at the grand final. Oh, hopefully. Come on, Adam.
Yeah, come on, Adam, indeed. Absolutely.
All of it rests on your shoulders.
UFM.
De Novos.
I've been glued to my couch at 7:30 every single night with a glass of wine, watching our country's finest in television. Of course, I'm talking about this year's Married at First Sight and the reality stars that are being cast, right? There's been plenty of rumours circulating over the authenticity on some of the brides and grooms, including articles speculating if a handful are in fact actors.
Oh, this does not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
It's got to be some of the most scripted reality TV has become such a loose term, hasn't it, of late?
I agree with that. I think
thing you know, Home and Away will be called reality TV.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And same level of acting, some might argue.
Yeah, I would argue that as well.
Well, earlier this week, we also talked about one participant in particular who has now left the show, of course, Collins, how his performance on the show was less than Oscar-worthy, if you know what I'm saying, and he seemed quite fake. If you don't fancy his theatric skills on reality TV, he's actually appeared in an Ashley and Martin hair loss advertisement. So he's been in ads regularly on TV.
So he's an aspiring
actor.
That's what I'm feeling.
Absolutely.
And vibing.
Yeah, and to be honest, I've seen the advertisement. His acting's better in the ad. He shouldn't be on reality TV.
Yeah, right.
Don't get him to string a sentence together because he can't. So there's also been our local, Newcastle local, Ben, who's on the show. Mm-hmm. So he works in the tourism industry, also hosts a podcast, which some argue he's only there to promote, of course. But what's interesting is that he was allegedly meant to be cast as one of the Bachelors like a year or two ago.
Really?
So he's gone... He's been dumped from The Bachelors before that was even shot.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
he
pops up.
They've got his resume on file.
Yeah. Pops up.
What do we got going here? Oh, this guy. He wasn't quite good enough for The Bachelor. Let's put him on maps.
And of course he's trying to promote a podcast. If you think that they're there for anything more than promoting their 5 minutes of fame to try and, I guess, launch a career, naive.
Yeah. Meanwhile, though, this season's dubbed villain, we've got Jack. He's an interesting character. His Star Now profile, so it's like an acting portfolio, if you don't know what that means, that has been uncovered. It details his experience in acting, voice acting, and also being a part of, you know, production and crew. You should see the photos of him.
Yeah, for those who are unfamiliar, Star Now is basically, like, all of us went to university for media.
Yeah.
It's basically where, like, film students find acting students to go into student films.
Yeah.
It's not like, it is real amateur level acting.
I mean, yeah, some of the photos of him, like, was quite a few years ago, his Star Now profile, but the photos, it looked like he's auditioning for, like, 2000's Big Brother.
It's for people that are dreaming of becoming actors, and they think, if I put my photo up there on the internet with a little... you know, bit of information about how I've got a quirky personality, maybe I can get myself an acting job.
Yeah.
Which is fair play, but also really mass. It's a love show.
It's supposed to be about true love, and these people are taking us for a ride.
So how many contestants are there? Like a dozen or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Give or take.
We've got three so far that work in the
proven actors. These are just the ones we've caught as well.
Well, yeah, so... obviously this is not new, okay? We've had this in previous seasons where people do speculate the same thing, but also half the girls have been viewed as minor influencers, as what they're saying, where they've got like a couple of thousand, maybe 12,000 or more followers already
on their Instagrams. Grow that to get, you know, free face masks for the rest of their life or whatever they're trying to get.
At the moment, we're looking at like, what, nearly 80 to 90% of the cast?
Well, on a similar vein, I was talking to our producer, Chippy, yesterday. And he was telling me that a lot of the contestants actually reached out to by producers.
Yeah, right.
I get a message like, hey, I'm a producer from Maths. Would you be interested in entering the show?
That is fascinating.
It's juicy.
It's, I mean, whilst I still maintain, I think they must all be looking for love. I think maybe some of them are trying to get famous at the same time.
God, you're a hopeless romantic creepo.
What can I say? I'm a modern day Novocastrian Romeo.
Right, we're done for the day, though.
What are you up to today, Stephen?
You know what? I'm hoping this weather, I'm hoping it clears up a little bit because I've realised that Siobhan, my partner, has been in Newcastle for like 6 months now or something, never been to Black Butt Reserve.
Oh
my God.
So I think, you know, I reckon the rain will make it look really green and lush.
Yeah,
you know,
like a rainforest. Like
rainforest and stuff. The rain makes it look that a lot greener and vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping it clears up this afternoon. We'll still get the vibrancy of all that kind of rain.
Sure.
But we'll get the nice weather, go for a nice walk. She can see all the animals, feed a kangaroo, all that good stuff.
She can go to Black Butt Reserve, and that is correct.
Correct indeed. No, what about you guys? Up to anything exciting?
I'm sort of going to take the afternoon off, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, hallelujah.
Just a bit of pottering around at home. Probably it's going to be good.
Classic bludging behaviour.
Yeah, that is classic.
Typical Thursday.
What about yourself, Ari? Easy day as well?
Yeah. I'm going to be cooking tonight. I'm going to make some laksa, so it's going to be quite lovely in my house. It's going to smell great, so I'm very excited.
The smell of laksa is something else, isn't it?
It's awesome. Yes.
Yeah, what a treat. Well, tomorrow, Feel Good Friday.
Yes.
One alarm to go for the week, family. We can do it. We crawl into the end, aren't we?
Nah, it's going to be a great day. Have a good one, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We'll catch you then.
Bye.
That was the Novos. You want more, right? Sure. Just head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or newfm.com.au, and you can relive all the fun again and again and again.